Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
A lot of people have said there are people now dying of the swine flu who are in good health. By whose standards? Hospitals serve Jell-O.
Robert Scott Bell.
Food advertising. You know the people. Fresh, natural, hearty, old-fashioned, homemade goodness in a can.
Robert Scott Bell.
Dr. Agus argues that the fountain of youth is attainable if everyone were to take statin drugs.
Excuse me?
It sounds completely, completely insane.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
I am so excited for this hour of the Robert Scott Bell Show. You guys have had enough of me and Super D. Now we need Super B. That'd be Brian. Brian Hooker, PhD, to be specific. He's so smart, I'm just gonna go to take a nap right now, and y'all wake me up when he's done telling us what he needs to tell us. Hey, Brian Hooker!
Hey, Robert Scott Bell. I need my Robert Scott Bell time. It's been too long.
You know, I must have said something to really upset you, because it has been a long time, and I'm just trying to figure out. I can't remember. What did I do to upset Brian Hooker to the Ed Melon Show in so long?
Nothing. You didn't do anything to upset me. I've just been hunkered down trying to get this stupid paper published. It's not stupid, but
no, I know what you're saying though. But if you tell me like you did a year and a half to get this thing peer reviewed, is there anything that was left unturned? I can't imagine.
It was really super rigorous. I had the first final manuscript done in December 2018. Mm-hmm. The manuscript was done. It was on the rails, ready to go. And I submitted it to the first journal, second, third, fourth journal, same thing. Actually, the third journal that we submitted to invited me to never submit anything to that journal ever again in my entire life.
Wow.
And I got this like rejection letter that said, please don't ever come here again.
There was it something I said? Did you not like my clothing? What happened?
Absolutely. It must. Something smelled weird. And they just basically gave me the left foot of fellowship. And then a year ago, June 18th, we submitted to Sage Open Medicine. Mm-hmm. And the peer review process took exactly 10 months. Before them, and it went through four rounds of review. Generally, papers like that go through two rounds of review. It took 6 months to get our first round of reviewer comments, and so we got our first round of reviewer comments in November of 2019, and we've been working on rebutting comments and revisions. This is me and my co-author, Neil Zell Miller, who is amazing. Amazing guy.
Brilliant guy. Great author, of course.
Absolutely.
Miller's Guide. And you know, you guys got put your head together and put a very important paper together.
It was fun. I love working with Neil. He is so calm. Mm-hmm. And he's a medical journalist, and he's such an excellent writer, and he sees beyond what's on the page. He has such a special knack of being able to do that. So I was so blessed. I brought him into the process during peer review. I actually did the work, the statistics work, prior to working with Neil, but I needed somebody who could kind of see through everything. And Neil was the perfect choice, and it made such an intense contribution that I made sure that he was a co-author, and we're still collaborating. We're going to continue to collaborate after this.
I like that collaboration. By the way, it is published. We have a link to the press release over at Children's Health Defense. It says new study, or new research study, clarifies health outcomes in vaccinated versus unvaccinated children. You can see the actual visual as it appears at Sage Open Medicine, analysis of health outcomes in vaccinated and unvaccinated children, developmental delays, asthma, ear infections, and gastrointestinal disorders. I don't think it's a hyperlink thing, but I think we can get there eventually to show. Here it is, the study. I'm going to click on that and open it up directly at the journals at Sage Pub so you can see it. The objective, the aim of the study was to compare the health of vaccinated versus unvaccinated pediatric populations. Now, Brian, this is it shouldn't be a controversy. It should have been like basic 101 safety review aftermarket scenarios. Like, let's look at these outcomes. Let's find out who's been fully vaccinated, partially vaccinated, not vaccinated. Let's look at general health outcomes. It seems to be rooted in what I would say common sense science to ask these questions and then report on them. But how many peer-reviewed articles of this kind of scope have been published thus far that you know of prior to this one?
Very few articles have been, you know, the tip of the spear was the paper by Anthony Mawson. And he did his paper was published in 2017. I'm good friends with Tony, a big fan of his work. And he had a group of over 600 individuals that actually responded to a survey. The thing that made ours unique was that we were blessed with the ability to work with three independent pediatricians across the country and go directly into their electronic medical records and mine data. So when we look at
blinded to you guys, so you didn't know the names of the people, right? I mean, HIPAA and all that stuff. So you're looking at the data of patients in different pediatric practices and the reported health outcomes post-vaccination based on their vaccine records. Again, you're not – I think about all the things they attacked Andy Wakefield for, right, when he came out with his review of what he – and I'm just saying, you after a year and a half, you had to say, you know what, we got to look at this because they're going to come back on this. And then all of the things that had never been done before in a retrospective like this.
We really worked hard to make sure that this was completely rigorous, that we were abiding by all the rules and regulations, that we had the appropriate permissions. Because this is a retrospective study, theoretically, you don't need institutional review board, and you don't need an ethics committee. We got ethics committee approval anyway to make sure that we were sound. We want to make sure, like, you know, things like conflicts of interest are lock solid, that, you know, everything is absolutely reported. So people have a perspective of my background. People have a perspective of Neil's background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was nice to have our feet held to the fire because I felt like, you know, my hat's off to Sage Open Medicine because I felt like they were working with us to make sure that we had a paper that was retraction proof.
Right.
I don't think anything is fully retraction proof, but we can at least call it retraction resistant.
Yeah, I like that. And the thing is, you've been challenged via this process, which I think is ultimately, if we say a positive side, if peer review was actually working, the challenges would be there to strengthen a paper or, you know, destroy it because it's not valid. And then, you know, the whole idea is to kind of rifle through it so that what comes out in there is like, man, this is pretty much beyond reproach. Not to say that anything couldn't be challenged. Everything can be. But in this particular, I'm trying to get a sense of how much you went through because the awareness of everybody, everything previous, including other peer-reviewed articles you've had, and how viciously they are attacked simply because the subject matter is, you know, it's off of the little index card. You know, you're like, that wasn't allowed on that subject. No, that's not on the card. You can't do that. You're like, yes, we can. And we did. And it should be done. And so as we come through to the understandings or the findings here, and that's, you know, a big part of what I want to go with you now on. What did we learn from this based on the previous articles that were published or even what we might say is hearsay, reports, self-reporting? How is it matching up with things that I've observed as a homeopath, traveling around the world and witnessing children and their health or lack of health based on their vaccine status to some degree? The healthiest children that I've seen around the world are the least vaccinated or not vaccinated at all. And now I'm talking about chronic diseases, chronic maladies, not acute infections per se, but even in this article that you have reference to ear infections, which tend to be more chronic than acute, even though there's an acute phase within it. Not trying to confuse everybody, but right. These are my observations.
So what we wanted to make sure that this study was lock solid. So when I originally got the data, I wanted to have a window of vaccination and then a window of diagnosis. Because we heaven knows, you don't want the diagnosis to precede the vaccine. You know, it is if there is a causal relationship, then the vaccine is before the diagnosis. So we did a cutoff age of vaccination of 1 year and 15 days. So they could go through their first birthday, go to their, you know, what we call the 1 year, well, baby checkup and get their, vaccinations, which could include MMR, chickenpox or whatever. So we wanted to capture that particular window. Then the next window was the window where they were diagnosed with one of five different maladies, which was gastrointestinal disorders, developmental delays, asthma, ear infections, and then we had a control diagnosis of head injury. We know that when a kid, you know, bangs their head on the playground and has to go and get stitches, that is not associated with vaccination. Okay. So we needed a control diagnosis that basically would say, you know, if we found positive relationships with some of our diagnoses, we would need to show that our control diagnosis was not related to vaccination. So we set up this study design that was as rigorous as we could possibly make it. And we found that children who were vaccinated were twice as likely to be diagnosed with developmental delays. And this is just the vaccines during the first year of life. It does not regard anything after the first birthday plus 15 days.
Wow.
They were over twice as likely to be diagnosed with at least one ear infection, but including multiple ear infections. And then they were 4.5 times more likely to be diagnosed with asthma. And so these results just jumped off the page. They were highly statistically significant. Any way that you sliced, diced, or julienned them, they were highly statistically significant. So we saw this, and this was a minimum follow-up of 3 years. So the children had been followed from birth by the same pediatrician until at least their third birthday, and most of them were beyond that. The average age of the sampling that we took was about 6 years of age. So the children had been followed up on average for 6 years in the same practice, by the same pediatrician, given the same vaccinations. 30% were unvaccinated, 70% were vaccinated. So we had a good, healthy population in both vaccinated and unvaccinated.
Dr. Brian Hooker, I want some clarification just because if I'm somewhat confused a little bit, just sure. I'm not sure I heard you right. We talk about 1 year and 15 days. So the assessment of vaccination in that time period or no vaccines in that time period, what do you mean by saying cutting it off at that point? Because you're also talking about children who are much older as well in terms of outcomes. Is it just that you didn't concern yourself with if they had additional vaccines or not after that point? You're only looking at the set that occurred within the first year and 15 days. Just clarify that for me.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Rocking the health world to the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
We only looked at vaccines in the first year of life, and there were a couple of reasons why we did that. Number one, we wanted a cutoff age so we could have the vaccines occur first and then the diagnosis occur afterwards. Now, that's not usually a problem for things like developmental delays, which are diagnosed when children are older. But things like ear infections, you know, if a child had an ear infection prior to 1 year of age, we didn't consider them in the analysis. So we had to have some type of cutoff to make sure that the vaccines preceded the diagnosis. So the vaccines were first, diagnosis was second.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, to gather the data of vaccines happening in year two, year three, et cetera, you would now be counting in vaccinations after the diagnoses of these things, these factors you were saying. Again, there's a lot of complexity to this, and if I'm hearing it, I'm willing to say, you know what, I really want to understand the reasons for it, because I know in peer review process they would target these things, like, well, you know, which came first scenario? Was it a genetic issue? These are always the arguments thrown that they were born with this stuff. And so you're able to delineate between those that were vaccinated not in that first year of life and the health outcomes from that point, not trying to complicate, confuse, or add more vaccines into the mix that could then end up, I don't know if it would be diluting the results or it could be introducing confounding factors. How would you describe that?
what we wanted to make sure that we were giving vaccines the best shot possible. You know, if there, you know, I want to make sure that beyond a shadow of a doubt that I wasn't, I come at this naturally. I have a vaccine injured child. I do have reported conflicts of interest. Does that preclude me from doing research? No, not at all. No. If I'm upfront with my conflicts of interest, if I'm upfront, if I'm taking care of my biases and my study design can eliminate those biases, then yes, I'm going to go ahead and do that research. But I want to make sure, if anything, by cutting those off, then we had children in the unvaccinated group that did get vaccines after their first birthday. If anything, it would tend towards what we call the null hypothesis, or not finding a relationship, because we had children in our unvaccinated group that did later on get vaccinations. And so, you know, if anything, we were giving a little bit more of a benefit to not finding those particular results. And the fact that they jumped off of the page clearly and compared to our control diagnosis, head injury, which was not, we never saw a fully significant result. Then, and we want to include head injury also because arguably, you know, a peer reviewer made the argument, well, what about healthcare seeking behavior? It could be that individuals that don't vaccinate, that just don't go to the doctor as much, so they don't have a chance of getting these diagnoses. And we just did not see that with our control diagnosis. Otherwise, we would see significance. So we did that. And we want to make sure that that window of vaccination was short enough that we could capture early diagnoses that happened after that, you know, 1 year and 15-day time period.
I'm with you, and I apologize to everybody going, let Brian get to the point of the results, as you've mentioned, because that's the big money aspect of, hey, what did we learn? Sure. And you already kind of hinted at what those conclusions were or what the findings were, but I really needed, for my own purpose and edification, to understand a little bit of the study design. Obviously, there's more to delve into, and for some, it might be like, I'm just bored to tears over this. My apologies. But I think it's important as well for those who are standing ready to try and attempt anything they can find to discredit the study, to eliminate the findings that put vaccines on notice that the health outcomes are not preferable for those that say, you know, I'd rather not have kids with chronic diseases of any kind. And there's a relationship there that now you're determining and validating through the peer review process, that is something that is also validating to me and other holistically inclined healthcare providers and even medical doctors who have pointed out and observed the same thing. And there are many. So it's not that we're doing this in a vacuum, that you suddenly discovered something that was unknown to anybody, but through this study design could show a definitive causal link that should require more investigation, more questioning, more studies, more peer review, not elimination of the relationship because we don't like what you found, Brian Hooker.
Right. We need further study for, you know, to understand this phenomenon. There are huge repositories of information and agencies that just refuse to look at this. You know, the dirty secret. I have been investigated and used the CDC's vaccine safety data link, which is 9 million patients, 2 million children, that we could do these studies. The dirty little secret about that database is there are unvaccinated kids in there. They could do the same study. They could do the same study on a much larger scale.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Longtime listeners to the Robert Scott Bell Show know how important it is to detoxify their bodies, much less prevent the toxins from getting in the first place. One of my favorite ways to do it is through drinking Echo Water. The molecular hydrogen we get, go to robertswater.com. Paul Baratero from Synergy Science is back with us with an update.
Absolutely. We definitely have amazing filtration, removing all the chlorine, chloramines, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, VOCs, all the types of things you should be concerned about being in your drinking water. We can even get rid of fluoride. We have a separate filter that removes fluoride so that you don't have to worry about that in your water. So remove those before they get in your body so you don't have to worry about getting rid of them once they're in your body.
And in addition, the advancements with the Echo 9 Ultra H2 available to you, as well as the economical unit pH neutral NHM 130 available. And now whole house water filtration available through Synergy Science. Check it out, synergyscience.com, 800-337-7017. Special deals for Robert Scott Bell Show listeners.
USA Radio News.
I'm Jeremy Stott. Another lockdown is underway in California due to surging coronavirus cases and shrinking hospital capacity. New restrictions in 11 counties, including the cities of L.A. and San Diego, mean no dining in restaurants, and many businesses are closed for at least 3 weeks. It has been an especially tough year for salons. Merrill Southern, owner of the spa at Southern Exposure in Stockton, tells KCRA News.
It's been brutal on us. It's been half the year we've been closed. Obviously, far apart. We're following all the protocol. And still, you know, I don't know how they think we're supposed to survive. How am I supposed to pay my mortgage without anybody working?
The order issued last week by Governor Gavin Newsom bans people from gathering with anyone outside their household in the first 5 days. Days of December, there have been more than 1 million new coronavirus cases in the United States. USA Radio News.
And liftoff of the Falcon 9 and upgraded cargo dragon.
A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket carrying a cargo ship blasted into orbit this morning from Kennedy Space Center. It was the 24th Falcon 9 launch this year, but the first in a new line of advanced Dragon capsules. This was the first supply run under a new NASA contract. The Dragon was loaded with more than 6,500 pounds of supplies, parts, and gear. The launch was delayed from Saturday due to bad weather. TV funny man Squiggy has died in California.
Marry a man with a square head, no neck, and hair on his thumbs. You know what your kids will turn out to look like? Hello.
Actor David Lander, best known as Squiggy on the Laverne and Shirley TV show, has died after a decades-long battle with multiple sclerosis. Confirmed by his wife, Lander died Friday in Los Angeles, California. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
If anything, if we had, you know, a CDC with a conscience, which we don't, then this would be impetus to do further research to understand, to do a retrospective study with these types of health outcomes would be facile. It would be very, very easy to do with these large databases. We just don't have access to them to do it.
Well, are they saying we're not releasing the data to you, similar to what transpired, you know, with your interaction with the hashtag CDC whistleblower going all the way back to the vax film and the things that you encountered through, only got pretty much through initially the Freedom of Information Act request, and then, of course, developing a relationship with the whistleblower. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what was released to you, or indications to how to get that information released.
So there's a big edifice there that you have to penetrate in order to get to the vaccine safety data link. Usually what they'll try to do instead is to give you these much, much smaller pared down data sets that are completely meaningless. And there's no way that you can do what we call independent hypothesis testing in these particular data sets. Yeah, I've gotten some of the data sets. I've even published on some of the data sets. But really, the gold standard would be having somebody go in, you know, like I did with Dr. Mark Geyer and David Geyer, going into the vaccine safety data link with our own independent hypothesis, with our own independent study design, and then repeating the analyses that I did on a small scale with 2,000 patients.
So is there a let's say, a plan? You talked about working with Neil Miller some more, which would be great, but to expand this or to go to other doctors in their practice to see if this is a similar pattern that has manifested?
My hope is to be able to expand this study. It would be much more meaningful if we had about five times the amount of patients, say if we could increase our study size to about 10,000 patients. And so, you know, the nice thing about getting this publicized is I've already had positive contacts with practitioners who are the types of practitioners that would look at the study design, realize that there's integrity in the study design, and also would be skeptical of everything that they heard from the CDC. And so, you know, there are individuals that are coming out of the woodwork. My hope is to be able to expand out this network to get more electronic medical records and to be able to satisfactorily show them, no, you're not putting your patients at harm for disclosure or anything like that. We're using this information so we can better understand what are the long-term health effects of vaccination, which we've been crying out for years and years.
So what I want to do when we come back from this break, Brian, can you stick with us for most of the hour? I don't want to take you away from classes that you're teaching if they're still ongoing. I don't know, whatever. But, yeah, it's great to have you back, my brother, my friend. I appreciate you so, so very much. And we're going to go as intimated, the results. What do they mean? What are these numbers when we say double the amount of something? How does that happen? How do you come to that conclusion? And then, you know, where we go from here with this information, how you can help share this information and perhaps bring it to your health professionals that are either skeptical, which is okay. Healthy skepticism is legit.
Right.
We want it. We welcome it. But when we come to a mind that is so closed that it can't encounter information that, let's say, violates its fundamental dogma or belief system, then we get into levels of cognitive dissonance that we can't, you know, bridge that chasm for people that are there. But for those who are at least open-minded enough to discuss what we're finding here, this kind of information, although I think presented in a very rational way, is threatening to those who want to hold power and sway over our belief systems, over our behaviors, over our interaction with medicine and doctors and government and media. There's so much riding on the vaccine belief system. And it's more than just whether diseases return, as they say. That's the thing. Oh, my gosh, they'll be back. It'll be worse than ever. It's more than that. It's about control of your behavior and your belief system, because what of Brian Hooker, those that are outside of the traditional now MD, PhD scenario in scholastic settings, we are excluded from the table of discussion. Homeopaths, herbalists, some naturopaths, certainly what I call the more traditional naturopaths. A lot of the naturopaths going through certain schools on the West Coast and other areas have been enveloped and devoured by an allopathic curricula. Question reports.
Yes.
So competing thoughts, they rarely get to be engaged and discussed, much less scrutinized in a healthy intellectual and skeptical way, which is what peer review is about. And so as we are having you back on today, I want to go back to show everybody in the publication here. We have it linked up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. And scroll back up to the top. It's at journals.sagepub.com. And it's the analysis of health outcomes in vaccinated and unvaccinated children. developmental delays, asthma, ear infections, and gastrointestinal disorders. We spent a bit of the first half of this interview with Brian talking about some of the study design, setup, just questions I had that maybe not the exciting part. He did reveal some of the results, and one of our super fans out there, she's our bodyguard, and she controls what's going on in the flow of the discussion group. Ula says, what was the size of the control group again? So we have clarity there.
Hi, Ula. Hey, the size of the control group, the what we would consider the unvaccinated control was 600 patients. 600 patients were completely unvaccinated by their first birthday.
Wow. Okay. So with that, I look back at my own history, my own health conditions as a child of the 60s, the canary in the coal mine of Generation X, having multiple ear infections, borderline asthmatic. I had a lot of respiratory ailments. I had tremendous amount of gastrointestinal disorders for the first 18, 19 years of my life, really till I was about 24, and I figured a way homeopathically, herbally, more holistically with dietary shifts to correct the 24 years prior. So a lot of what's in this study was me, and I was vaccinated fully according to the schedule way back when, which did include the smallpox vaccine. They still gave it when I was a baby, and I had adverse reactions to that. So what are we to say of the outcome of another study that said 54% or so of young Americans are chronically ill? Now, I know that's not in your study, but to acknowledge that, to say, could we be seeing, as the study is showing, I believe, a relationship between the vaccine schedule in the first year of life and at least some of these chronic manifestations?
Well, you have to remember, children are intensely vaccinated in their first year of life more than any other year of life. I was astounded. I just wanted to do the analysis and look and see how many vaccines children were getting in each year of life, and they get 21 different vaccines. That's 21 different needle sticks, by their first birthday.
Some with multiple antigens, correct?
That is correct. That doesn't account for multiple antigens. So if you add on top of that, like multiple antigens from the DTaP or the MMR or, other combination vaccines that are given, some are hexavalent vaccines. They have six different types of antigens in that vaccination. So the children are getting their full wallop of the vaccination schedule in their first year of life. And so that's why one of the reasons why we focused on this. And when you look at the vaccine uptake, these pediatricians, these pediatric offices having 30% unvaccinated children were a bit out of the mainstream of what you would expect. You would expect 90 to 95% compliance. And when you have that level of compliance from what we saw, the more vaccines the children received, the worse the outcomes were. We did have a portion of our study, which we called the quartile analysis, and we separated the group that was vaccinated in quarters. So the first quarter was 1 to 5 vaccines. The second quarter was, I believe, 6 to 9, and the 6 to 10. Then the third quarter was 11 and 12. And then the fourth quarter was fully 13 to 21 vaccines all in the first year of life. So we saw some children that got very few, some children that got all or almost all, and the ones that got the more vaccinations, we would see the relationship strengthen, where there were more children that were coming down with developmental delays, asthma, ear infections, and gastrointestinal disorders, the more vaccines they received in their first year of life.
So my personal clinical observations that align with many of my colleagues, whether they be medical or non-medical, seeing patients over the years, the more vaccinated, the more highly vaccinated the kid is, the more chronic manifestations, chronic ailments or illnesses we see. And that seems to be playing itself out in this peer-reviewed article of yours, having assessed with the limited number, albeit how many total participants, if we look at the number again?
2,047.
Okay, so it's still not a teeny number. Obviously, we'd like to see, as you said, over 10,000, and maybe that can happen as we reach out to more doctors that would be willing to participate in this way. But if we could come back to the proverbial money shot, what were the numbers again? You said it before, the double the rate, that kind of thing for each of these, let's say, chronic ailments or manifestations.
Right. What that means, sort of, if I put it in, break it down to its most elemental terms, and it's a bit crude because there's a lot of modeling ease in there that we, you know, we want to make sure that we compare boys to boys and girls to girls, and if they were born in the same year, they probably got the same vaccine schedule, so we didn't do cross comparisons between different years of birth. But what that means is when I say that the odds or the amount of diagnosis that we saw of developmental delays was twice as much, that means that in the vaccinated group, they had twice as many children proportionally that had developmental delays than the unvaccinated group. Okay, so if we had even numbers, you know, say we had 200 in each and it was twice as much, that would mean that there were 5 children with developmental delays in the unvaccinated and 10 children in the vaccinated group with developmental delays. That would be a 2-to-1 ratio. Okay, so that's crudely, that's what it's like. And the things that stuck out of the page, you know, you don't want to see any child get diagnosed with a developmental delay. Okay, and certainly children can get developmental delays and can have other exposures besides vaccines that would cause them. And so we're not saying that, you know, not vaccinating is going to cure all ills and is going not going to eliminate all exposures to your children. But the one that jumped out of the page to me, which is such a huge chronic disorder right now, is we saw 4.5 times as many cases of asthma.
All right. So that's not double. That's 4.5 times the number of cases
of
asthma.
Correct.
Okay. Again, the problem I see here is, as you know, with those that hold and cling to vaccines as if it were the most important religious dogma belief system in their entire, they don't want to acknowledge this simply because what the conclusion becomes is that their sacrament, if you will, in a religious phraseology perspective, is not beyond reproach.
Live around the world,
the Robert Scott Bell Show.
CancerTutor.com is at the forefront of research, education, and guidance for people battling cancer. We've partnered with renowned doctors and clinics throughout the world to educate and empower people with the truth about all cancer treatment options, from traditional to natural and integrative protocols. Cancer is not a death sentence, but is instead an invitation to life change. And CancerTutor.com is committed to walking with you, helping you find your path as you begin your unique journey of healing. Your cancer journey is personal, so CancerTutor.com is personalized for you, providing access to the latest curated information on groundbreaking research and treatments, including ebooks, recipes, doctor interviews, and more. Natural medicine is no longer the alternative. It is the first and best option for restoring your health, and Cancer Tutor is leading this movement. Reclaim your right to treat your cancer on your terms at CancerTutor.com.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting, alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Scott Bell Show.
You know, as a parent of a 22-year-old autistic male who is the light of my life, I would do anything for him. He is a gentle soul. He's wonderful. He's very, very kind, completely nonverbal, has to, you know, use my wife and I to communicate to anybody else what his needs, wants, and desires are. And just a few select people beyond that, has to have his routine. This is debilitating. This is debilitating. You know, the normalization of autism is just a bunch of crap. You see shows like The Good Doctor and you think, oh yeah, my son's going to go to medical school. I don't think so. You know, we have to teach him how to write first as a 22-year-old. So, you know, this is devastating. Debilitating. The new normal or the normalization of these diagnoses couldn't be further from the truth.
Hmm. Well, Brian, knowing what you've been through only from a distance and seeing, you know, having met your son as well over the years, and other families that have raised children who have been injured thusly and seen the most severe of these diagnoses, this is not something you would wish on the worst of scenarios. I mean, to see your children never be able to, you know, what was described, to not have what we would, you normally consider, hey, this, you're a kid, right? You do things, right? You grow up to be an adult, you get to do things. None of that is possible in these severe diagnoses, right? Even if, you know, we were to argue that we may, the earlier the better, to reverse some of the injury due to everything that's been brought into these children, could help, and we've had physicians on over the years to do that. But there are cases where that wasn't available to most, and they're beyond that. And now we're witnessing these children grow into young adult status that never have the independence. And the fear, of course, as a parent, you included, is like, what happens when you're gone? I mean,
exactly.
And then we've seen devastating things happen because of that concern. And I think that sense of humanity, or the lack thereof, in those that are attacking us or you or others for daring to point out there may be a relationship between the vaccine schedule, individual or collectively, and these devastating diagnoses, from the mildest scenarios of things that maybe have been covered in your study to the most severe that wasn't assessed in the study in terms of autism.
Right.
And we know that those that mention vaccines and autism together do not get funded for studies and do not get published. It's almost like an automatic no, that's not happening. It was hard enough for you to get this study published.
Right, right. And, you know, we want to be able to spread the word. You know, I relived my son's 15 months vaccinations in my mind daily. And, you know, with a significant healthy dose of regret that we were talked into by a practitioner to get him vaccinated while having an active ear infection. And don't get me wrong, the other vaccines that my son had prior to his 15-month well baby checkup did contribute. He was a sick kid. He was a very, very sick kid. But there was a toxic tipping point, and that was his toxic tipping point. And so taken from somebody else, you know, I have a difficult time not begging and pleading new parents to take a different course of action and really, really do their research with the resources that you have online. And don't just follow the dogma.
No, please. God bless you, Brian Hooker. My friend, I appreciate you so very much. And, you know, your dedication to this and to help other children not go through the things that your child has undergone, and to communicate through the scientific literature as well to those that may have a bigger impact in some sense, certainly within their sphere of influence, to see these realities somewhat devoid of emotion, which is hard to do because you've lived this. But to see it numerically presented and presented in that is important for a number of folks on our planet. And I pray that they are open to see it, hear it, and act accordingly on it. And I will say, to me, this is a spiritual crisis, because ultimately, whatever you believe about vaccines, if you would deny people the freedom who believe differently than you to have to take a different course of action, whether it be no vaccines or just some and not all, that to me is the fundamental issue. Whether
yes.
I believe in them or not is not for me to say you can or can't have them for you. This is fundamentally an issue of freedom, but I would also say scientific integrity. It shouldn't be an oxymoron. And in your case, it's not, because you brought it here today and every time we are together. We got to take a break. Our UK Health Radio folks got to drop, and I know that you've got a call coming up at the top of the hour, so I want to say thank you, Brian Hooker, for being on board today. And can't wait till the next time. It shall not be a year and a half.
No, it's not going to be a year and a half. And thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to present this. And God bless you for your work. Thank you.
Links are in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. Thank you, Brian Hooker. Thank you, Super Don.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Do you really want to rely on medical doctors for better health? Or would you rather know the secret to unlocking your immune system to help your body fight off disease naturally? Hey, this is RSB, and after a quarter century of healing research, I'd like to share with you my secret to optimal health. It's my immune system. It's what keeps me healthy while naturally preventing sickness. So how do I keep myself and my family from getting sick? It includes the premium supplements I get from Better Way Health, especially Transfer Points Beta-1 3D Glucan. Go to betterwayhealth.com/radio to get your exclusive RSB show discount today. Better Way Health only carries the highest quality supplements on the market. They're the nation's number one retailer of Transfer Point Beta-Glucan, which is an immune system supplement that outperforms top competitors 16-1. I've teamed up with Better Way Health to save big on all these natural supplements. All you need to do is go to betterwayhealth.com/radio to get your exclusive RSB show discount today. Again, that's betterwayhealth.com/radio.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way
you want if you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch? We can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.